You ever find this on your face? This guy is taking some medicine. Now, do you remember, and we talked about this morning in Bible class a little bit, when I was young, taking medicine that's supposed to be good for you, and it is the most horrible tasting stuff that you could put in your mouth. How many in here remember castor oil, black draught? Anybody ever? Boy, Jack has done it all. Maybe that's why he looks like that. I don't know. We remember those well, and those two particular medications work very well. But boy, they tasted bad. You know, sometimes we have to endure awful things to accomplish our purpose and our task in life, such as taking bad-tasting medicine, such as going to the doctor for surgery to repair the body, or maybe going to the dentist to get a tooth filled. I remember very well as a child my first trip to a dentist. It was on the second story of one of the medical buildings in Florence, Alabama, and I was already a little bit nervous. It wasn't a something's wrong with my mouth to have to go to the dentist, but my folks thought it was time for me to go to the dentist. Well, I was a little bit nervous about it. And, of course, my daddy, with his sense of humor, would say things like, "Oh, boy, it'll be all right. If he takes all your teeth out, others will grow." And well, you don't want to hear stuff like that when you're like 7 years old, do you? But my daddy was that way. So I was already a little bit nervous. And we got into the building. We got into the doctor's office, and I looked around me, and I saw all that stuff hanging around, and that big shroud that hangs over the chair that you're going to sit in. Well, they put me in that chair. The dentist comes in, and he grabs that little thing that's hanging over me, and he goes, "Bzz, bzz." Out of that chair I went. I got out of the doctor's office. I got out of the medical office. I was halfway down the steps to the car when my daddy caught me. I did not like the thought of having to do that. And I, to this day, do not like the thought of going to the dentist. And my dentist, he's just right across the street here. He's one of the finest men I've ever met. But I don't like him because I don't like to go to the dentist. But sometimes we have to do things like that, don't we, to get the results that we need for ourselves. Now, I want to tell you this morning that the same thing is true spiritually. The cross proclaims the awfulness of sin. And sin is awful. It is awful in the eyes of God. It must have been awful in the eyes of God for him to offer the life of his son to destroy it. But then God has a really good reason to hate sin. I mean, sin came and destroyed God's perfect creation. Sin came in a time after God had created the earth and everything that was in it, including his greatest creation, which was man. He placed man in a perfect paradise. He gave him a wonderful world, wonderful surroundings, everything at the very best. But through the craftiness of Satan, this beautiful place became ugly because of sin. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 13 that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And this death was an awful death. It left an awful taste, but his death was necessary for man to find salvation. Today, you and I come to this place, collectively as a body of Christ, to kneel at the cross of Jesus, because he went to that cross and gave his life for us. We came to worship Him as our Lord. We came to worship Him as our Savior. And we kneel at His cross because it is the only avenue by which we can obtain our salvation. We kneel at the cross of Jesus because it is necessary that we stay in constant contact with it. A continual cleansing comes from the cross to those who love and obey our Lord. It comes from walking in the light, as John talks about in 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And every time we kneel at the cross, we need to think about the awfulness of it. We need to understand that it took the awfulness of the cross in order to redeem man. Now today, as we think about the cross, I want us to think about three things. I want us to think about the purpose of the cross. I want us to think about the power of the cross. And I want us to think about the path of the cross. First of all, the purpose of the cross. Now, the cross had at least three purposes. The first one was, of course, forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is with His disciples on the night of the betrayal. And it is here that He instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper. In verse 28, He makes the statement, "For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, two words stand out in this verse, the word forgiveness and the word blood. You know, some 75 years ago, somewhere around that time, there was one particular religious group, a very large religious group in modern-day religion, who wanted to remove all references to the word blood in their teaching and from their hymnals and from their way of worship. They said that to use the word blood was too shocking for some people, and they couldn't justify using that word in their religion. But I want to tell you something, friends. You can't teach the gospel of Christ, and you can't teach forgiveness without mentioning the blood of Jesus. We sing the song, "What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." How are you going to teach the cross? How are you going to teach Jesus Christ? How are you going to teach our redemption if you do not mention blood? It cannot be done. You might as well burn the whole Bible if you're going to refuse to use the word blood in reference to Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire Word of God is centered around the blood of Christ. In Genesis chapter 3, it first mentions the reference of the Son of God coming to have His heel bruised in order to destroy sin. And He will do it with the blood of Christ. And when you take away the blood, you take away forgiveness. The second purpose is fulfillment. Now in Psalm 22, verse 16, David sings in prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus. He said, "They pierced my hands and feet." Now the Jews that crucified Jesus, they knew these scriptures. They knew the Old Testament scriptures very well. And even though they denied that Jesus was the Christ, they had to realize that if he was the Christ, that they were fulfilling the very prophecies that had been taught that they would destroy him through crucifixion. They also had to realize the fulfillment of the penalty that sin would have upon them if he was the Christ. Paul talks about this penalty in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The third purpose is reconciliation. Now, let's define that word reconciliation. It means basically to solve a dispute, to end a quarrel, to bring two or more people back together into a friendly relationship. Now, reconciliation from a spiritual standpoint is going to end a dispute, to end a quarrel, to bring back together mankind and God. And it had to be done through the cross and the blood of Jesus. Paul tells us that this reconciliation was made by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." It isn't something that man provided for. It isn't something that was given to us by the Constitution of the United States, even though the Constitution gives us the right to worship freely. We are reconciled by the cross. It is the cross that mends us. It is the cross that binds these broken ties. It is the cross that brought the Jews and the Gentiles together. It is the cross that brings all of us together with God. That was the purpose of the cross. It was a very important thing that happened on that day on the hill of Calvary, because the cross of Jesus washed our sins away. Now let's talk about the power of the cross. Again, we're going to break it down into three sections. First of all, the power of the cross, of course, is our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." If you will allow the cross to touch your heart, move your spirit, and control your life, then it will become powerful for you as well. You know, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It is power. So it's like the song we sing, there is power in the blood. Not only is it power for our salvation, it is power for our freedom. Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Now, you know what Paul is trying to tell us here? That if we belong to Christ, if we are part of his kingdom, of his family, we are no longer categorized. You know, we like to categorize everything in life, don't we? We like to place levels on everything in life, from politics to job descriptions to everything, really. Things even in the home. Some things are labeled as more important than others. And sometimes we label ourselves as more important than others. But in Christ, we are no longer categorized. We are no longer classified. There is no longer master or slave. There is no longer the Pharisee in the front of the temple and the tax collector in the back. We are all one and the same. What are we, Paul? We are free. We have been freed by the blood of Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's how powerful this cross really is. The power of the cross is also unity. Listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting death to the enmity. Do you know who Paul is talking about here? Do you know who them are? He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles who had lived their lives in hatred toward one another. And the cross of Jesus had the power to unite the Jews and the Gentiles. Do you know what that means? If the cross has the power to unite or reunite the Jews and the Gentiles, the cross has the power to unite white and black. It has the power to unite Americans and the Iraqis, the Americans and the Chinese, the Americans and the Russians. The blood of Christ on the cross can bring every culture, every race, every creed, every nation together. It is that powerful. Friends, you and I can live a blessed life of unity because of the cross. Now let's talk about the path of the cross. I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus walked the lonely road to Calvary. He walked that lonely road to die for sin. Farron Hamner, he walked that lonely road to die for your sin. Ronnie Deese, he walked that lonely road to die for your sin. Stephen Tammy, he walked that lonely road to die for your sin. And this can be said by every person in this room. He walked that lonely road so that you and I won't have to walk that road, and we will not have to experience death for our sin. Why? Because it pleased the Father. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Please don't leave this room today doubting the blood of Jesus Christ, doubting its purpose, doubting its power, and doubting its path. So let me ask you today, will you walk that cross or that path to the cross? Will you die to your sin? Will you repent and walk that cross in repentance so that Christ can forgive you? Will you be baptized so that the cross, the blood of it, can cleanse you of your sin? Christian, will you walk in faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleansed you and cleanses you daily if you will walk in it? And if you have stopped walking in it, will you not come back to it and let the blood of Christ cleanse you all over again? don't deny the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we sing this song to encourage you.